Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Let the filibustering begin.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Filibuster here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm Lee Hutchison, and joining me today for another lockdown interview is actress Marley Sue. Marley is one of Scotland's most exciting talents right now, with roles in Anna and the Apocalypse, Run, and the upcoming Our Ladies and Alex Rider TV show. Marley has appeared on the small screen, stage and big screen, and we dive into her fantastic young career over the course of this interview. Thanks to Marley for joining me, and be sure to pick up Run, which is available on digital and DVD release on May 25th. You'll find a link in the show notes. Thanks to Marley for joining me, and enjoy the interview. What kind of kick-started your passion for acting and sort of the performing arts?
So I danced since I was like four, and that was just because there was a local dance class. I grew up in Forres, and there's not really, there wasn't like a ton of stuff to do around there, but my mum was always very like proactive, getting like me and my sisters all into like hobbies. So I did a lot of dancing, and I think that's what I did. There was like a thing called YMT, which used to, was the kind of closest thing that you came up to us. It came up to Inverness, and I remember auditioning for that when I was like 13 or 14. I was really young, and went away, and you, it would be like a show you would do over the summer. So that, and I went into that because I wanted to dance, and I was dancing initially, and then because I really enjoyed doing that one summer with my friends, my mum started looking into like if there's any drama groups locally, and there was one that was just starting up in Elgin. I can't remember what they were called at the time, but they were looking to do like tour shows around schools, basically kind of like educational stuff. But the guy that led it was a guy called Chris Lee, and he was brilliant, and he was like very supportive of us all writing and making the show ourselves. Like, it was a bunch of, we must have been like 12 to 16 year olds, we were really young, and our first show was about knife crime, which sounds like it could have been really, it probably was a bit like, I don't know, we had so much fun making it because he let us swear and you know, talk about stuff we wanted to talk about, and he didn't make it like he didn't treat us like we were kids and say that we had to be like knife crime is bad. And anyway, I did, that was my first youth theatre group, and I really, really loved that. And I guess when you're a teenager, you just want to like shout and cry and scream and stuff, and he kind of let us do that. And so that was kind of my first introduction to acting, I think, was through that youth group. And then that was kind of the only sort of opportunities up where I lived. So then I did drama in school, and I just kind of continued down that route, and then I got into uni to do drama after that.
Were there kind of any actors and performers or sort of maybe film or any kind of medium that sort of inspired you and kind of resonated with you as you were sort of making your journey towards becoming an actor?
Well, there was, the closest theatre to us was Inverness, and that was like an hour's drive, so I didn't really see a lot of theatre. And I grew up, I had loads of sisters, so like my mum couldn't really you know, afford to take us all out to the theatre all the time, so it was probably more films. We had a rental, like DVD rental store in Forest that we used to like rent a film every Friday night, and I'm trying to think of the films we watched, but I guess that would have been the first, my sort of introduction to films. And I'm trying to think of anything that really had a huge impact. I saw Blackwatch with my friends in my first year of uni, and I thought that was incredible. And then I think in my first year of uni, I also saw The Place Beyond the Pines, and that was the first time I watched a film where I just cried loads in the cinema, and thought that was a really beautiful film. And I think it was probably more as well just, again, in that youth group right at the very start, like watching, seeing what, like, you know, a bunch of kids are usually embarrassed to, like, everyone's trying so hard to be cool when you're a teenager, and then when we were in this room, we were allowed to do all kinds of things, silly and sad and serious, and being allowed to, I guess, just express yourself a bit more and not try and fit in and be cool or be funny. That was probably a big inspiration to acting, of being like, this is a space where you're allowed to feel everything and not be embarrassed by it.
You kind of first came to our attention and particularly into sort of 2017 with Anna the Apocalypse. When did you sort of first hear about the film, and what was the audition process like for the film?
So I first heard, I was just starting my first job, which was at Dundee Rep Theatre, and I was sent I was asked to do a tape. So I taped for it, and then I came down to London and did an audition. And I met John McPhail, who's the director, and his best mate Tyler was actually, I was in a show with him at Dundee Rep, so I think John had seen me through that, and then his great casting director Sophie Holland had got me in, and I did my first audition, and then I got called back the next day while I was still in London and did like a group, so they put us together and we did like an improv. It was a really, really nice audition process because they really let us play around. Like, they put us into different groups and it wasn't scary, and we had to sing a song, but like Tommy Riley and Roddy Hart, the composers, were there and kind of worked on it with us. And I think because for a lot of them it was, I mean, they John had made a film before and Roddy had done Sunshine on Leith, but they were all still really excited and it was still quite, I think, new for those guys as well. So I think everyone was so excited to be making a film that it was a lovely process. It wasn't like anyone was, you know, nasty, or it was a lovely process.
Were you always up for that role, or was of Lisa, or was it potentially sort of, you know, was that always the kind of character you had in mind for, that you were going for?
I think all the girls, as far as I know, I think did a tape for Anna initially, and then when I actually went into the room I was given the sides for Lisa. But I remember when I first read the script and Lisa's scene when you first meet her, I just straight away thought, I think she's so much fun, and I really would love to audition for her. So I was really excited when I got to come back in and get to do Lisa, and when I read her song as well, even though I didn't know what it was going to sound like yet, it was so funny. So I was really glad to get to go in for Lisa.
What was it like working on your first film? Was it everything you kind of expected it to be? What was the kind of feeling that you got from it?
I like had no idea what to expect. I'd done a bunch of short films, and I really love being on set, so I was hoping it would be like that, but it was that and more. Like, we were all filming inside the school, and they set up everything, like the costume department, the makeup department, the office, everything was along this one corridor, and like we had a green room, and then like there was two classrooms, which were like the boys and the girls change room basically, and we all just like hung out and we just roamed around the school. So I don't think it was, no, I know now that's not a normal filming experience, but at the time it was, I can't think of a better first experience, and I'm like sad to think that some people don't get like that. Is so much fun to basically, such a great step as well, from going from not working into your first job. It's still kind of, because it was in a school and it was under such like a protective, the people in charge, the producers and the director, were so lovely and excited themselves about making the film, that it was a perfect first job to do.
You kind of steal the show with your performance of Santa Baby. I rewatched Anna the Apocalypse the other day, and annoyingly, Santa Baby's been stuck in my head every time I've gone in for the shower the past few days. What was it like kind of performing that scene? And it's the highlight of the movie for me. It always seems to go down well. I've seen it at a festival and with the cinema audience. What was that kind of day like? You've got your big scene, your big performance. How did that go down?
I was really scared because Sarah Swire, who's in it, she plays Steph, and she also was the choreographer. She had sent me a video with like suggested kind of the not dance moves, but like a feel of how she had pictured the performance. Because initially I was like, Sarah, I can tap dance. Do you want me to tap dance during the song? And she was like, let's try and rein it back a bit. And here's like some sort of moves that you can incorporate in whatever you feel comfortable. So I had an idea of like the kind of routine. I hadn't seen what the boys were going to do behind me. I hadn't seen that dance yet. So when I got there, I got to see them, what she'd choreographed with all the topless Santas. And that was so funny. But I remember putting on the dress and all the hair and makeup and just feeling terrified and feeling really like out of my comfort zone, because also I don't find singing comfortable at all. So that was, I found the process, and I remember and also all the scenes up until then I'd done with other people, so I was like comfortable in that kind of area, and this was the first sort of kind of solo moment that I had to do professionally, and I found that terrifying, and I thought it was going to be so awful and rubbish, and then when I got to watch it back I was like, oh, it's okay. And John was like, he was so lovely through the whole thing, he was like, just enjoy it. And but I was actually really scared before we filmed that.
When was the moment that you realised this film had sort of broken out with audiences and it sort of really developed quite the cult appeal over the past few years since its release?
I don't really know. I think Sitges, I went to the premiere there at the film festival, like that was my first time ever watching it and seeing it with an audience, and it was like 3 a.m. It was like a midnight like screening, and it was like a real horror heavy audience, and so it was a lot of like men in like heavy metal t-shirts and like big horror fans, and I was like, they're gonna hate this, and then they were like laughing and clapping and singing along, and then I think that was a big moment for a lot of us of seeing that this film sort of reached quite a few different people, and if it found its right audience, people would really enjoy it. Then I think Comic-Con in New York as well was another big moment where we were like, there, because it hadn't came out yet and people still seemed to know about it and liked it, had done some festivals, so I think those were two really lovely moments. And now just randomly you'll get messages from people who, we did a live like tweet along the other day, and there was just like so many more people than I thought. I didn't realize how many people have seen it and enjoyed it, and that was really lovely.
It seems to be one of those films that seems to be growing. Like, I remembered sort of seeing it at Edinburgh, and like it was on my list of films to see, and then I remember, I think it was like a really sunny day, I would remember that, and like looking outside the Usher Hall, and there was like this big press release event or something where there was like Snowman, the cast, candy canes, and I was like, yeah, and I was like, what is this, and all that sort of stuff. I just, oh, I'll go see this Anne of the Apocalypse. So, and then I was like, oh wow, this is gonna be something that's pretty huge. And then there's, I think it was like a big karaoke event tonight, and it was like, oh, like these people seem really confident this film is gonna, you know, be something and is gonna grab people's attention. And it was just that little moment I'll never forget, the hot, warmest day of the year, and that snowman outside the Usher Hall. It was so surreal to see.
That was really fun. I think that was the Edinburgh, that was its premiere in Scotland.
Yeah,
that was the, I don't know, the producer's idea to do that big. At first we were like, is this going to work? But then lots of people seemed to find it funny, so that was really fun.
There we go. See, all these years later, is it still being brought up? With kind of one of the films that we've been really keen about recently is Run. It was a film that kind of came completely out of nowhere for me last year at the London Film Festival. It's one we've been kind of raving about kind of ever since. When did you first sort of hear about Run, and what attracted you to the role of Kelly?
Yeah, thank you so much, by the way, for all the support you guys have shown Run, because I love that film, and I really, really hope more people get to see it. So I got sent a script through, and I got I had a meeting with Scott and his producer Margaret, and I, from the email I got from my agent, I had seen Shell, and I like fell in love with that film, and I think I'd even tried, I was really young, I tried to write to Scott's agent or someone to try and get in touch with him just to be like, I love your film, but I don't think that ever got passed on to him, but So when I saw his name, he was genuinely one of those directors I'd made like a little dream list of if I ever get to work with incredible directors, he'd be one I'd want to work with. So yeah, when I saw his name, I was really excited by the film. And then when I read the script, being set in the Northeast, and I just recognised Kelly and the way she spoke immediately from, you know, girls I went to school with. And I just felt like I knew this character and like understood her. So it was... and then the first edition, Scott had actually hired, he was auditioning Kelly and Finney, I think, actors for both at the same time. And he'd hired Kim Allen, a brilliant actress, and I can't remember the name of the guy, an actor. So basically we got to read with actual actors during the audition, which is a total luxury, because that's obviously an expense that a lot of people wouldn't do, because it is expensive to hire an actor for a couple of days. But we... it makes such a difference, because it just meant like coming into that audition, you could just give everything because you had an actor to bounce off of, and you always perform better. I think when you're like, the best thing about acting is acting with other actors, because they make you better. So, and he'd set up the audition, like we were in a car, and it was all, It was just a great first edition because he'd put everything in place so that we could perform well. So I did that, and then I had a chemistry test in Glasgow with another actor, and then my last chemistry test with Mark was with Mark in London, and we did this scene on the breakwater, and I remember thinking like, oh, I fucked it, I've not got it, because Mark is like, Mark is incredible, but when I read with him, he has this energy which is quite like chaotic. I found in the audition because I didn't know what he was gonna do, and I just thought I'd fucked it because I was like, oh my god, this guy's so good, I can't keep up with him. But luckily Scott liked us acting together, because yeah, I think Mark's brilliant.
How much of you, your experience of, as you know, can you bring to a character like Kelly, or is it all the script is kind of king? Are you able to sort of influence whether it's the music choice, the dress sense, anything like that? Do you get much of an input on that kind of character?
I think it usually depends on the director. Like sometimes you come into things and they have very clear ideas, or you know, the makeup or costume department have, like, I've done stuff before where like makeup have been very clear about what they want the character to be like. So it, from project to project, it depends on the creative team. With Run, everyone was so open, and it was the kind of project that like I just couldn't help it. I just had so much like I wanted to bring to it because of knowing girls like Kelly. So Scott was, I mean, the script was so good that there was not really any need to improvise, I didn't think, because, and also because of it being written in Doric, like it's a tricky accent to improvise in anyway. So Scott was like, if you want to improvise, like that was completely open. But there were some takes that we tried a lot of different stuff, but his kind of script is so stripped back that like me and Mark were able to do a million different things within those parameters of those, like of the lines already there. You didn't need to change what you were saying. You could say those words and make it a million different ways, because his script is so good. But as far as like bringing ideas to the character, like with makeup, Bethany Swan was the makeup designer, and she's brilliant. And I had a meeting with her first, and she was like, what, how do you see her? And I sort of talked about girls I'd grown up with, and also you know, Instagram and the kind of girl Kelly was and what she'd be influenced by. And I brought in pictures of like, I made a Pinterest board of like, you know, Kylie Jenner and like all like the kind of things that Kelly would follow on Instagram and the kind of eyebrows she'd have. And I think sometimes makeup designers might want to make a character pretty, or like, I guess, I don't know, they would want to make, because they're good at their job, they want the person to look good. But Bethany's so creative, and she was like, that's, yeah, more bronzer and more brows. Like she just made it realistic that Kelly wouldn't be a professional makeup artist, and she does look quite a bit messy, and she's been crying, and she was so open to ideas. And same with Becky, the costume designer, like she brought in loads of different things, and then we tried lots of stuff on and sort of created it all together. So it was very collaborative on one of everyone bringing their ideas, and it was so nice to be allowed to come in with ideas.
What were the challenges of shooting within a car? You've gone from, say, something like Anne and the Apocalypse, you've got this whole stage, a school to kind of play in, to being sort of in the confines of a boy racer. How do you sort of act within that, where body language is going to be very much restricted to, you know, you're strapped in, you're kind of, you know, sat up the whole time? How do you sort of work with that, and how does kind of someone like Scott direct?
So the way it was kind of set up with a lot of the car stuff was, so Simon Tyndall, the cinematographer, was like in the back of the car. They took out the back seats and he was there with the camera. And then Mark was actually driving, and Scott and his first and a couple other people were in a car behind, driving along behind us. And Scott had his screen and a radio, and he would watch it, and then we would stop and he would come and suggest some stuff. And he's brilliant because he just sort of sits back, lets the actors try stuff, and then he's incredibly like, he's just so good at observing and noticing tiny little things, and he never forces anything upon you. You never feel as an actor, you never feel insecure or embarrassed to do anything, because he tells you exactly how to do something. Basically he watches you, and then he suggests things and he gives ideas, and so it feels very, it doesn't feel like you're failing, because I think sometimes it can when you're acting, and then a director is like, do it like this, and you should be, that's your job to do it like that, but you can get embarrassed, or you can feel very watched, and if the whole crew are hear the direction, you feel like you have, they know what you're meant to be doing as well, so if you don't do it, it's clear you've done it wrong. Whereas with Scott, he would come and very quietly like say to me or Mark an idea or a thought he'd had, and or just remind you of something like that had happened before and be like, remember, she's feeling this, and what would that do to her? And it's just such a beautiful way of working, because you never feel like you're failing, you never feel like embarrassed to try it, and you never feel like you're letting down the crew or the director, because everything's the way he does it so privately. It just all feels like you have the room to try stuff out and you have the room to fail. And also being in a car and with the way the camera was positioned and stuff, it all felt so private, and felt, it was just a lovely experience. It's probably like the most, even though it feels like quite confining being in a car, it felt the most like creative space, because it was so unobtrusive where the camera was positioned. And even when we did some stuff in the studio later where the cameras were like outside so they could get clearer shots of our faces, you just forget the camera's there, and it's just about acting and responding to Mark. And I loved that process, and I learned, that was my second job on film, so I just learned so much from Mark and Scott, and it gave me a lot of confidence, I think, going into other jobs, of knowing how I'd like to act, and watching how Mark as an actor works and being like, oh, I'd love to try that, and feeling not scared to try stuff, because Scott gave us the room to do that, I think.
What I love is your relationship with Mark Stanley in this film, that you seem to have something really kind of special to together. You play off each other really well. You talked about sort of the audition process. How did you sort of build upon that collaboration when you kind of secured the job, to make sure that you were kind of on the same level and to create this sort of lived-in relationship?
I think that's just like, Mark's just great. After our chemistry test, I didn't see Mark again until we filmed. He went up to Fraserburgh like I think 2 or 3 weeks early before we filmed, and worked in a fish factory, so he could actually like and just be immersed in it and know how to work in a fish factory. And I think we joined him like a week before we started, and we had maybe like one or two rehearsals with Scott where we went through the script and went over our scenes, but Scott, I don't think, wanted to over rehearse it, and because of the fact that Kelly and Finney wouldn't really know each other very well, like Kelly's gone out of kid, but she's probably met Finney a handful of times, and I don't think you wanted to make that relationship too close. But also just hanging out with Mark, as soon as I came up to Fraserburgh, like, he's just the nicest guy, and he's really easy to get on with, and he makes you feel so comfortable that it was just straight away really easy to act with him. I've never had a bad experience with an actor where I could imagine the working with older actors who've done it a lot, like you would feel judged, or you feel like you need to prove something to, because they're brilliant and you want to feel like you deserve to be in that room. But Mark's not like that at all. he's so lovely. Like he's just an incredible actor to act with. He's very supportive. He gives you loads. And he's just a really nice guy on set as well. Like he's easy to chat with. He gets on with everyone. So it didn't feel like it was a lot of work to get to know him, because he makes it really easy.
One thing I really loved about the film, and when I saw it, I thought it was quite a cathartic experience, is that it feels like a real sliding doors movie, even though it's sort of shot and set in Aberdeenshire. Like, I think what goes on in this film is very universal. Like, I grew up like 40 miles from Fraserburgh in a little village called Inch, so it was like I knew of Fraserburgh as a place, and even that 40 miles seemed like it could have been like London for all I knew. Just that's how kind of big Aberdeenshire I always think felt. And when I watched the film, I could see a lot of the characters and people that I knew. Like, I would know the Kellys that had maybe kind of settled down really early, got pregnant and stayed, and there always feels like there's that divide, that people that left and moved on to something else, or those that kind of stayed and kind of made home and settled down. And I think no matter if it's set in Fraserburgh or Texas or anything like that, I think there's something really kind of universal about the film. What was it like for you, as someone that had kind of grown up in sort of, you know, rural Scotland and has gone on to, you know, star in films with the one? Did you ever sort of consider Kelly could have been maybe what your life might have been if you'd maybe stayed behind?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I went to school with people like Kelly, so that is a complete reality that I've seen of what if you do choose to stay in your hometown and you know get married and have kids, like that was very much a possible option. I guess because I was slightly different to Kelly in the fact that I'd moved around a lot. I lived in Hong Kong when I was little, and my mum we'd kind of like hopped around different places, and so I never really felt as rooted to a town like people from small towns do, because I guess your family are there and your friends are there, and I noticed the girls that were like Kelly were the ones that had been to the same primary school and the same high school, and they had all their best friends, and in a lovely way I was almost a bit jealous of, like they had such strong roots to that town and they had such strong friendships, and we moved every time like the rent went up, and I've always been a bit like I felt a bit more I didn't really have roots to a small town, so in that sense I felt very different to Kelly, and I don't think I ever really had the same kind of route she would have gone down because of that. And like my grandparents and stuff lived in Edinburgh, and I was born in Edinburgh, so I didn't have as much attachment to Forest as like my peers did, or you know my schoolmates. I don't know why I said peers. Yeah, but it is interesting that like even though it's so specific and so authentic and that's for that town, but that is so relatable to so many people. Like when we premiered at Tribeca, there was people in America that you know recognized their little towns in America, and my best friend's from Devon, and she was like, that looks like my home, like that's she'd seen she said they had like a there's she like loads of girls she knew were similar to Kelly, and that's you know in England, so it's I think that's brilliant because we made the film wanting it to be true to Fraser Brunn and I remember when we were doing it was getting stronger the dialect the more we filmed, and we were like, do we need to tone this down? And then we sort of spoke to Scott and we were like, it's kind of more important that you know the people in Fraserburgh will watch this film and be like, that's how we speak, and that's what and see their town and people they know represented on screen more than you know people in America understanding what we're saying, because there's loads of films that have American accents and people understand what they're saying, like we can put subtitles on it if it's going to be screened in America. And I think I'm really glad that Scott stayed so true to that town, and in doing so still managed to make it so relatable to so many other little towns all over the world.
I've always wondered about, I remembered reading sort of last year about sort of the Tribeca cut having the subtitles, and I would love that as some sort of like DVD special feature to see what the subtitles were for these Scottish accents and so on, and whether it was translated and how kind of American audiences kind of responded to the fits and quines and loons and everything like that. I've always been curious about what it must have been like for an American to watch this kind of uniquely Scottish film.
Yeah, Americans are also so vocal, like so much more vocal than any kind of UK audience. So there was like, I think an old couple a few rows behind me in Tribeca. I remember like a few lines into the film, they were like, what are they saying? Like they're so vocal. They wouldn't, you know, like an English person would whisper like, what's that they said? But so you knew exactly what they were also, they laughed loads. Like I actually really like American audiences because you know exactly how, what they're thinking and how they're feeling. But I think they still enjoyed it. The film's kind of, it works with or without subtitles. It is really nice without them because your ear does tune into it a bit more and you have to work that bit harder, but then I think it's a bit more rewarding because you don't miss stuff because you're not reading subtitles, obviously, so you get the whole feel of the film. But with subtitles is also really interesting too, because I think Scott's choice of every line he has in the film has a purpose. Like he edits so much, like he'll cut anything he doesn't think is important, so when you see the lines written down, there's also like another layer I think added on top of the film, because his scripts are beautiful, and it sometimes it lands a bit more when you see the line, you're like, oh, that's really lovely.
Another kind of, it felt like it was the film festival of you last year for us, but we also caught Our Ladies, which I'm so gutted has been kind of postponed till later in the year. I think it's one of these ones, there seems to have been, since its kind of premiere in London, it seems to have developed a real word of mouth, the trailer. I know people are real excited for this one later in the year. Our Ladies has been a long-term project for obviously Michael Caton Jones. When did Our Ladies first come to your attention?
It was when I was filming Run, actually. I was asked to tape for it, and we were doing night shoots on Run, so I had to tape at like 6 in the morning when I got home, and we were like staying in a B&B, so I had to sing. So I had to sing so quietly, trying not to wake anyone up. And I had to like do that thing when you tape, you record your voice singing the other person's lines, because I couldn't, you know, go wake up Mark and be like, can you do a tape with me? So it was the first time I heard about it. And also, like, my best pal was an understudy in the play version. So I'd seen it like every time she went on stage. So I'd seen it loads and I knew it was an incredible play. And yeah, so then I was really excited to tape for it. And then that audition process was long, because I guess there was, it must have been a nightmare for Caroline and Michael. Caroline, the casting director, because they had to, you know, it's kind of six even parts for six girls, and they had to, I went in for, I taped for Kay initially, and then I was read for Amanda, then I read for Shell, so there was a lot of, like, swapping girls around, and then we all got mixed together in groups, so it was long, so that was March that I first taped, and then there was auditions all through summer and chemistry tests until we actually ended up filming, which was like October.
What was your experience like working on Our Ladies? I mean, again, it's sort of another one of those ones, it seems to tie in well to kind of the Scottish experience, that kind of going from villages and towns into kind of the big cities, because we used to do that, like, from our school. We would travel from like the northeast all the way down to Edinburgh for like to watch a rugby game, and we would go like just wild, like we'd have like, you've got 4 hours to yourselves, off you go, and you would just like, it would be going to the HMV, it would be going to like pubs trying to get in underage, all these sorts of things. It seemed to really kind of nail that Scottish experience of what it's like to kind of arrive in Edinburgh and go, oh my god, this feels like the biggest place on earth.
We had the exact same. We got to go to like rugby trips like once a year down to Edinburgh, so that's so funny, like that must be a small town thing.
Absolutely.
Up to Murrayfield. Yeah totally, that's like the excitement of coming from a small town, and that genuine excitement of going to like Topshop or HMV, like, because we didn't have like the nearest clothes shop. You had to get a train to Inverness to go to New Look, like there just wasn't. So going to Edinburgh and having a street full of shops of clothes and CD, like that is so exciting. So yeah, that was completely nailed on the head how accurate that feeling was. And it was really fun, because we filmed in Glasgow, Edinburgh, and up in Fort Williams. We filmed all over the place, and it was quite funny, like shoving us all in a bus and sending us off. That we had so much stuff where we filmed on a bus, that because it was so hard. I don't know what happened, but it just, we kept, I don't know if it was the light or locations, or we kept missing stuff, so we spent weeks on that school bus going round and round in circles trying to get some of those shots. So every time we see the bus, it's kind of like a running joke about how much we hated that bus.
How did you and sort of the other ladies develop that kind of fantastic relationship that we see on screen? It feels like you have been through like 6 years of school and kind of primary school together. Did you sort of get the chance to work together before the film, or was it sort of built on those long days stuck on a smelly bus probably?
I think, yeah, the filming would definitely have added to it. And when you film with people, you just do get really close, because you're spending so much time with them, and it's really fun, and some of it's really hard, so like you form really good relationships. But yeah, we actually had I think 3 weeks or two 3 weeks rehearsal before we got to film, I think, which Michael really like fight for, because it was really important to him that we all had that chemistry and it could be believable that we all knew each other, because we didn't. I knew Sally from youth theater, we did NYT together when we were really young, but like didn't like we'd spent like a couple of weeks in the summer together, so didn't know anyone super well, and I think it was over the 3 weeks rehearsal that we just Michael started it by like getting us all in a room together, and with the, you know, the idea to go over scenes, I think. And it's quite funny, because when I first met Michael, he did one-on-ones with us all first to just go through the script and talk about it, and he's quite, you know, he's worked in the industry forever, and he has like, he knows it inside out, and he's not intimidating, he's lovely, but like I also felt like he's quite a big personality, so I remember being like quite quiet in our first meeting, and he like spoke a lot about his ideas and the sort of process that had got him to this. And then as soon as he got in the room with the six of us, you just like, when there's six girls in a room, and especially us six, like you just didn't get a word in, like we're so, it just kind of, I think also because we were leaning into the characters and the kind of relationship that we would have, and they're all quite rowdy, and it was just really funny to notice the shift in control. Like he just, when as soon as the rehearsal started, I think we sort of took over, and he sort of ended up just leaving us to it to like hang out, and just become friends, I think, because it's, and I think he was quite happy to watch that and not try and control that too much.
One thing I think is great about this, and I know from friends that are really excited for it kind of here in Scotland, is that it's a film about Scottish women. Majority of it is Scottish women, Scottish characters, and women somewhat often feel underrepresented in sort of films made here in Scotland. It's often told through sort of a male story or male gaze. What's it like to be part of, like, you know, a pretty rare opportunity of, like, this is Scottish women going and doing what Scottish women want to do, and people can kind of relate to that? Do you kind of feel like Our Ladies is going to kind of bring in an audience that feel maybe a bit underrepresented?
I hope so. I really hope that people will feel like, or, yeah, you know, Scottish women and girls will feel a bit more represented on screen, because I definitely didn't, growing up, didn't feel massively. I remember having a conversation with my friend. We were in high school and we decided we wanted to be actors, and I just realised that everyone on screen was English or American, the girls anyway. I mean, there was like Trainspotting, but that is, you know, predominantly about, it is like kind of Scottish men more. So I was like, why would they ever cast Scottish girls to do English accents when you could just cast English girls? That was me being very naive as well, but I didn't feel like there was any kind of stories about Scottish girls out there, and I'm really glad that Our Ladies has came along, and really lucky that it came along in a time that I could be part of it. And I hope it continues and there's more. I think everything in the industry shifting a little bit to be a little bit, they're trying to even out there, they're trying to make more stories where, you know, women are not just, you know, the girlfriend or the friend. So I hope that continues, because there is like a lack of it, and it's mad. Until you see it, you don't notice how much it's missing, I think.
It's another film where your character is a real good blend of comedy, musical talent and drama. Do you seek out these kind of roles where it really pushes you as a performer in a lot of different respects?
Not really. it's so nice and lovely that you like use the terminology like seek out. Like, at the moment, honestly, like, if I'm just auditioning for stuff, so if anything comes up, I'm just happy to like get an audition and try and bring whatever I can to it. And if it's challenging, of course there's certain jobs that come up and you're like, ugh, there's not really like a lot to do here. So when this stuff comes up and you can, you know, do things, lots of different things within that role, I'm always more excited by those jobs. And I think unconsciously you always do, you try that bit harder for the stuff that is really exciting, you can bring a lot to. The fact that, like, I think Lisa and Kyler are both musical and have the comedy aspect, that's not something that wouldn't necessarily like draw me, because I find, yeah, music quite scary. But it's just when I did read the Our Lady script, I thought Kyla was so cool. Like, the first time you meet her when she's like singing in the band, and then she like lights up a cigarette, I was like, oh my god, that's such a cool character, I wish I was as cool as her. So I definitely have like gut reactions to characters and scripts and think like I would love to try that. And the fact that they are different from each other, I think there is definitely, if you have done something before, like, there's, you don't really want to do it again, you want to try something different. So I definitely think that whenever I read a character that is slightly different to someone before, I'm a bit more excited to try that. So I guess, yeah, if there's a character that comes up that, if there's something new in them, or even if they're written similar, I'd always try and do something different with them, just because it's more exciting, I think.
I remember relating to your character briefly in the film when she was like, oh, I would just love to work in one of these like music shops. And I remember just as like a kid, the idea of like, I would just love to work in like a Blockbuster Video. That would just be like the best job ever. So, you know, it was one of those ones. It was like those kind of goals of, you know, people that kind of live in sort of the quieter towns and so on, of like, that seems like the best possible kind of job on the planet. I thought that was a really good touch.
Yeah. I think that was maybe from Alan. The writer of the book, who bang got that totally accurate. I was like, I really wanted to work in a cinema, and then I did, and it was not fun at all. You know, I'm sure if you work in somewhere at the Cameo or somewhere with an independent cinema, you might have, it wasn't as everything I dreamed it to be.
On the horizon, there's Alex Rider, which is something I've kind of been aware of but kind of never read or checked out. It seems like quite a change from your usual films and TV. What can people kind of look forward to in Alex Rider when it comes along?
It's really fun. I'm really excited for people to see Alex Rider. It's just really well done. Like, it's it's exciting. There's like a lot of action. The DOP bed is like shot really beautifully. Like it looks really cool. It's kind of just like I really hope people like it. It's exciting and it's a bit more, I guess, commercial than the films that I've done. And I think the acting's really good in it. And as in like the lead guy Otto, who plays Alex Rider, I think he's brilliant. And Brennick, who plays his best friend Tom, he's really good. And it's got like Vicky McClure, who's amazing, and Stephen Delane, who's amazing. So it's got like a brilliant British cast. And the books, I hadn't actually read the books, but a lot of my friends had. And they managed to, the guy who's adapted it for TV, he's managed to sort of bridge between like the excitement and the fun of the books, and then also make it a little bit more adult, I think, for the so it reaches a few more people audience wise. So I really hope people are gonna like it. I think it's really fun.
What can you kind of tell us a little bit about your character? You're quite well represented in the trailer, and am I detecting sort of like a Russian accent as well?
Yeah, Ukrainian accent. I think they just wanted to. So my character's not in the books. So Guy had created her to sort of create a character that, like a female presence in the book, who could go toe to toe with Alex. That was sort of his idea, I think. And his early on when I auditioned for it, like they said, her inspiration was a little bit of like a young, Lisbeth Salander. They wanted like a really she's like a she's hacks computers and she's meant to be she's really smart and socially a bit strange and. So that was kind of the inspiration behind the character, and then she's one of Alex's classmates in the school that he gets sent to, and I think they wanted this because the school is full of like billionaires' children, and they're all from all over the world. They wanted all to be like different accents and from different places. So I can't remember how we reached Ukrainian. I think they asked me in the auditions like, what accents can you do? And that's kind of I have like my mum is. Her mum was from Ukraine, so that's why I went down that route, because I was like, that could be interesting. I haven't done that before, but I really hope the accent isn't too awful. But yeah, she's a really fun character, and yeah, again, something very different. So I was really excited to try someone completely out of my comfort zone.
It'd be quite funny if you're like listing off all these accents you can do. Oh, I can do a Doric accent. Yeah, let's go with that for Alex Rider. That could have been quite an interesting alternative universe.
I didn't even suggest Doric. I should have pulled that one out. I think Doric was harder than Ukraine, to be honest.
What was it like, sort of like swapping sort of the kind of, the indie kind of background for these sort of big budget TV shows? Was it very much a kind of an exciting proposition and so on? And when can kind of people expect to sort of see Alex Rider? Is it going to be a sort of a streaming service kind of TV network? And when will it be kind of out? I suppose no one knows when anything's going to be out at these kind of moments, I guess.
No, everything's a bit up in the air, isn't it? Sorry, what was so wait, when will it? I'm not actually sure when it's coming out. It will be sometime this year, I think. I don't really get told stuff, and the stuff I get told not to talk about. And it will be in. I think you'll be able to see it in a few places, which will be good. My God, what can I actually tell you that's not? I think they are aiming for. They're meant to be. Announcing stuff soon in the next couple of weeks, so hopefully we'll all know soon.
It's quite amazing that you've sort of blended TV, film, theatre, web series so much. Is it kind of exciting to try all these different mediums and kind of have quite the portfolio of work underneath your belt like that?
It is lovely. It's like that's kind of the dream, to get to jump between all of them, and I've just been really, really lucky that the things have came along. I've just been really nicely timed out, because also I did a play at the National just over December and January, and I hadn't done theatre in like 2 years. So and the longer I think you don't do theatre, the scarier it gets to do it again. So I would love to get to keep doing all three. And also like indie films have been, they were always like, that's what I first started, like fell in love with acting. I would love to get to do that for as long as I can for the rest of my, if I could work in indie film for the rest of my life, I'd be happy. But it's really nice to get to also try all the different mediums. And also, yeah, like doing a bigger budget TV show was really fun, and it's another skill. Like there's a lot more that goes into setups, and it's quicker. You kind of have to, like in theater and in indie film, I think you have this lovely kind of rehearsal process, and you can really feel like you can try loads of different stuff and bring like a really well-rounded performance, or you can try your best with a director to create something you're really proud of. TV, you've got to do it so much faster. So I think that's such a skill to have, to be able to like not do a bad performance by just showing up. You don't get any rehearsal, so I think being able to balance and get to jump between them all is a great thing, because you keep all those skills alive, and I think they're really, all of them are really important to be able to do.
And kind of what else is on the sort of horizon for you that we should kind of keep an eye out for?
It's sort of indie film that I'm attached to at the moment, that is kind of still getting funding and stuff together, but it was one of the things I was most excited I've ever had to audition for. Like I think it's brilliant, so I'm really excited. I really hope that goes ahead. Maybe with I know all the coronavirus stuff is putting everything up in the air at the moment, but I think that's a really cool project. I would love people to see that.
I'm looking forward to that. And kind of the final question, we're obviously all in lockdown right now. Is there any sort of shows, films or books that you'd recommend people to dive into to keep themselves sort of engaged and trying to make the best of sort of this pretty terrible situation?
Ooh, I've been watching loads, I guess, like everyone. I guess you have days where you want to watch stuff. There was like the BFI put out a list. I've been going through and watching loads of that. And then there's days where you just want to watch like cheesy comedies. What if I watched Princess Mononoke the other day on Netflix. That's like a Studio Ghibli one, I think. That was brilliant. There's a film called All Is Well on Netflix by a German director, which is really beautiful. Atlantics is on Netflix. There's loads of films that I think went to festivals that are coming up on Netflix. Blow the Man Down's on Amazon. That's a really cool film.
It's kind yeah, of I caught that at Glasgow. I was really impressed by that one.
Yeah, that one's really cool. What else is there? I'm watching Schitt's Creek at the moment on Netflix. It's really funny. It's like a really funny comedy series. What else is there? I think there's some brilliant films on Amazon and Netflix that have like been to the festivals and are all coming out now. Have you got Disney Plus? Did you?
Yeah,
get that as well?
I had no intention of getting Disney Plus. Then I found myself in lockdown and signed up for it like within an hour of it launching. So yeah, I'm on Disney Plus too.
Yeah, I'm not like into all the, well, my boyfriend loves all the superhero films, so he got it, and I was really happy to find like all the High School Musicals and Lizzie McGuire and that stuff, and like there's like The Lion King and all that. So I guess on days where anyone's feeling a bit sad, they're always fun to watch.
But honestly, thank you so much for giving up some of your Disney Plus time to talk with us today. It's been really good. So we'll get this dropped next Friday or Wednesday, just depending which time I get these all kind of edited and ordered out for. But it's been a real pleasure, and hopefully your lockdown misery ends soon and it's all back to work.
Yeah, thank you for speaking to me.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.